This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is On the Media. I'm Brooke Gladstone. Military operations are traditionally seen through a soda straw, to be fathomed only years later in history books. But what happens when current wartime intelligence lands in the hands of regular people, from surveillance aficionados to everyday TikTokers? BuzzFeed science reporter Peter Altus recently took the measure of how open source intelligence has drastically transformed the way we see, literally see, the war in Ukraine. For instance, some of the first to know that Putin was making his move were analysts at the California-based Middlebury Institute of International Studies, who were tracking the buildup of Russian military on the main road from Belgorod, Russia, to Kharkiv, Ukraine.
They knew to look there because they were looking at what had been posted on TikTok by just ordinary Russian civilians taking videos of what they were seeing, and that included these surface-to-air missile launches. So they worked out where they were. And then what happened, which was the signal that really, oh, it's moving, was the Google Maps app that you and I have on our phones. Well, you don't get much congestion in rural Belgorod region at 3:15 local time in the morning. So what they realized when they suddenly saw this signal of a traffic jam appearing is, the few people who are on the road are being held up. And why? That's probably that all this military hardware is now on the road and rolling toward Ukraine.
You've noted that open source intelligence, or OSINT, is altering the landscape of war, or at least the view from here. Can you tell me about how crowdsourced technology is having an impact?
Nearly all of this is a combination of technologies. The example I gave started off on TikTok, going to very sophisticated radar imaging from satellites. That has only been really available at the resolution needed to see vehicles in the past couple of years. The company that markets this data is called Capella Space, is based in San Francisco. Mm-hmm. They launched their first satellite only in 2020. Now, the military, of course, has had access to synthetic aperture radar imagery for a long while. But what is happening is these technologies are coming into the public domain.
You mentioned synthetic aperture radar. It can construct detailed images from the signals that bounce back to a satellite.
Exactly right. So the satellite goes overhead. It's in low Earth orbit. It is beaming radio waves down at the Earth, and they reflect and scatter in various ways. Some of that is going to come back to the satellite, which then that information can be processed and it can be used to build up images. But now the resolution of these things, about 18 mm-hmm. inches or so, and that's very much good enough to identify vehicles, to count vehicles, and to tell the difference between, you know, a truck from an armored personnel carrier from a surface-to-air missile launcher.
Because radio waves can pass through cloud cover or smoke, so you really can see through the fog of war.
Yes, exactly. The advantage of the synthetic aperture radar is it just passes through all of that, and you can still see what's going on the ground, even when normal optical image wouldn't show you anything.
You wrote, "No longer do governments have exclusive access to the technology that puts eyes on the battlefield." And you spoke to Stephen Aftergood, who's always covered secrecy for the Federation of American Scientists. He said secrecy is harder, certain kinds of deception are more difficult, and the possibilities for press and public accountability are increased. Is that the big headline here, that Putin lost significant credibility when his statements didn't line up with reality.
Yeah, and that was why I wanted to write this piece, because clearly some of the stuff that has been coming out from Moscow has been pretty much immediately been shown to be false. In mid-February, there was the claim that these exercises taking place, that was all it was. There was no intention to invade in Belarus. And then it's, oh, well, troops are starting to return. And straight away, the people who are watching this are able to say, well, no, the buildup is continuing, the complete opposite of what is being claimed here. Even when this conflict between Russia and Ukraine really kicked off in 2014 with the annexation of Crimea, at that time, we just didn't have the full capabilities we do now to ground truth this stuff. And it would have been Putin and Moscow's word against Biden and Washington's word about what was going on.
You noted that people are also crowdsourcing real-time flight data.
So how this works is aircraft have transponders which are pinging out signals, and anybody who has a tiny radio antenna that you can make into a software-defined radio on your computer can detect these things. And then those are all fed into these websites that display the tracking information. And ADS-B Exchange, it's the biggest unfiltered one. And I think this will get interesting both for planes and for marine vessels as well. And the sanctions stuff, governments are saying we are going to seize the assets of oligarchs who are close to Putin. Some of the most expensive assets they have are their private jets and their luxury yachts, and those can be tracked. The fact that that is now available for anybody to do, it's kind of a level of accountability. It's like, well, okay, we said we were seizing these assets. Well, they don't seem to be seized.
Melissa Hannum, an OSINT specialist affiliated with the Center for International Security and Cooperation at Stanford, told you that she was worried about the ethical issues. She asked, are OSINT analysts now actors in an active conflict? Can OSINT analysts change conflicts?
Yeah, it's a serious question. There are phenomenal abilities, for example, to geolocate exactly where a photograph or a video was taken from. So if you have people shooting videos from their apartments, posting that, and then that gets into the public discussion around the war, potentially those people become targets. The other thing to bear in mind is we've got these satellite imagery companies which are putting out information like, you know, those images of the Russian military convoy I mentioned. I asked those companies about, well, how do you decide what you put out there? Because anything you put out there potentially identifies what you're showing as a target.
Just to be clear, you're talking about the companies that provide satellite imagery like Maxar Technologies or Capella Space.
Indeed. Just to, you know, give you an example, I think a lot of people expressing on social media frustration that, well, here are all these vehicles lined up, can't NATO strike it? Well, I think there are very good reasons why that might not be something NATO would want to do when those vehicles belong to a nuclear-armed state. But clearly, just the fact that people are discussing that illustrates the point that if you show something and that signal gets amplified, potentially what is shown is a target in a real shooting war. That, I think, raises some interesting questions, like what do the companies choose to release and what do they choose to withhold? We are not, for example, seeing those companies release images of what the Ukrainian defense forces are doing. That's a decision, right? But in conflicts where the aggressor and the invaded are perhaps a little less clear than in this one, that's going to pose some pretty thorny questions as to what gets put up into the public domain and what is not.
Thank you so much.
All right. I hope that was helpful.
Peter Aldiss is a science reporter at BuzzFeed and author of the recent piece, How Open Source Intelligence is Helping Clear the Fog of War in Ukraine.